Good morning. Could we turn, please, to Ezekiel in chapter 34? Let's just pray before we read. Lord, we seek your face this morning and we want to hear a message from your heart. Lord, we want to know your heart. We want to be in tune with your heart. We want to bring glory to your name. And Lord, we pray you just reveal your character to us so that we might, as it were, have your character as we go out into the world to reflect you and reflect something of your glory. So make the word alive to us now, we pray. Make it real to us. Lift us up by it, challenge us, rebuke us, correct us through it, our God, that we might be just the people that we should be in our day and our generation, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Ezekiel and chapter 34, beginning to read at verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And one verse moving down to verse 23, or two verses perhaps. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Amen. I want to begin our thoughts this morning in John and chapter 21. This familiar passage when the disciples were in a state of doubt, we remember, and after the resurrection of Jesus, they're a bit perplexed and they don't know what's going on. Remember that Peter says to the others, "I'm going fishing." And he says, he's really saying, I want to return to my old life. He'd been a fisherman and then Jesus had called him. But in this moment of perplexity and doubt, he says to the others, "I'm going fishing." And they say, "We're coming too." And so they go out fishing. And after the Lord enables them to make a great catch of fish. But after this, remember that Jesus says to Peter, "Simon Peter," he says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Now, Peter's life as a fisherman had been to take the fish for himself. His daily experience was to go out and to catch fish and to bring it in. And as he was doing that, he was getting something for himself. Perhaps a few of the fish he might eat, and that would be for his own personal benefit. And most of the fish, presumably, he would sell, and that would be for his own personal benefit. Now Jesus is saying to him something else. He's saying, "Simon, do you love me more than these, more than the fishy?" And he says, as it were, "If you do, I want you to feed my sheep." Now Jesus is being very specific about the manner of Peter's life and Peter's ministry from that. Because if before he had been in the position where he was taking something for himself, taking something for his own benefit, something for his own good, now Jesus is saying that is going to be reversed and you're going to be in the position where you are giving out, where you are giving to the flock. Instead of taking fish for yourself, you're now feeding a flock. There's the difference between a fisherman and a shepherd. So Jesus is saying you've been someone who's taking for yourself, and now I want you to be someone who gives to others. And this is the central message that the Lord has given me to give this morning, that we can be so much seeking after something for ourselves that we see the whole, we miss the whole concept of the Christian life. Now, when Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep," I believe primarily he was talking to Peter about the gospel ministry. Now, very often when we think about feeding sheep, we're thinking of the pastoral ministry, we're thinking of people who are preaching to believers. You come into a meeting and the preacher or a pastor gives something to the flock. But I believe primarily here Jesus is speaking to Peter about the giving of the gospel. Now primarily Peter was an evangelist. He had some pastoral ministry, but essentially he was the great evangelist and going out and spreading the gospel. Now when Jesus is saying to Peter, "I want you to feed my lambs," he's saying, "I want you to go out and give the gospel to the lost." That was his great desire, and this was the way in which Peter was to show that he loved Jesus. Not in the praise and worship, not in just the ministering to those who were already saved. But the key thing was that he was to give the bread. He was to feed the flock. And that was the great priority. And I just want to back up that thought that when he's saying feed the flock, he's speaking out feeding the lost. And I want to back it up by showing from John in chapter 10 that the sheep are the sheep even before they're found. You see, we as the sheep of the pasture of God are sheep even before we're saved. Because we are we've always been elect, we've always been chosen, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and as such, we are the sheep. And you find this taught in John in chapter 10. Jesus speaks to those who are unbelieving. John 10 verse 25, "I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you," they were not of the sheep And so they did not believe Jesus when he preached the gospel to them. But he says, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So in a sense, the sheep are always the sheep of God. They always have been. But as it were, before we're saved, before we turn to God, we were sheep that have gone astray. In Luke 15, you have the parable of the lost sheep. And in that situation, the sheep was lost. It was still a sheep. It didn't become a goat when it was lost. It was still a sheep, but it was lost. And so the shepherd goes out and he seeks for the one that is lost. And so it is with us. Before we were saved, we were sheep, but we were lost. And so all those who are unsaved in the world are in the same position. They are sheep, but they are lost. And they need someone to go out and to seek after them in order to bring them into the kingdom. And if we see that for ourselves, we may have a great deal more confidence in evangelism, knowing that they're already chosen in Christ, that they are sheep, they are out there, and they merely need a shepherd to go and seek after them and to bring them into the fold of God. The same truth is shown in a similar way in verse 16 of John 10, where he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So we have this foundational truth that the sheep are always the sheep of God. It's not that you are a goat and then you become a sheep when you are saved. You've always been a sheep, but you were lost, you were far from God. And God has this great desire that we should go and seek after the lost. But turning again to Ezekiel and chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? The prophet, the Lord through the prophet, is speaking a word very directly to the shepherds of Israel and saying, you have had the wrong priority in your lives, and you have thought that your spiritual life, that the work that God had given you, was to feed yourself. It was to go out and take something for yourself, to build yourself up, to make yourself strong. But that is not the heart of God. It says, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And this can be true of us, that in our Christian lives, that we somehow see that the priority for our Christian lives is not to feed the flock, but it's to feed ourselves. And we can have such an interest in the Word of God and the things of God, but that can be expressed in the fact that we go to ministry meetings, we go to teaching meetings, we go to conferences, we listen to sermon tapes, and we fill ourselves up on the, as it were, on the Word of God, on this good food that is provided, and we seek after this thing, but we don't see that the priority for God is that we feed the flock. We're in that position where we're taking all this stuff for ourselves and say, yes, I love the ministry meetings. I love to hear a good word from the Lord. But God says, should not the shepherds feed the flock? Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And in a sense, we are all shepherds, and we may not be in any kind of particular ministry. We may not be a leader in any kind of ministry, and yet we are all shepherds within the circumstances that God has placed us. We have families, we have friends, we have our own local community, and within that situation, perhaps we are the only ones that can minister to those people. We have particular circles in which we move, And perhaps we are the only person who is saved within that circle. Perhaps only we are in a position to minister to the lost in those situations. And so it says, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And yet we can be in this position where we are so concentrating on receiving ourselves, so concentrating on receiving the ministry, so concentrating on hearing the teaching from God, and all of that in the going to conferences and going to teaching meetings, that we do not see that the priority of God is to feed the flock, that is to bring in the lost, to go out into the world and to bring a message that's going to bring life to them. And you see, if that is our attitude, you see, we do not have the priorities of God. We do not have the same attitude of God. You see, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the reason Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, as he is the great shepherd, if we are to follow in his footsteps, then we are to do the same. And instead of being in that position where we are taking continually for ourselves, we need to be in that position where we are giving to the lost. The apostle speaks to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians about, he said, I would spend and be spent for you. He said, I want to give my all for the lost, for other people, that they might come into the fold. And that needs to be the priority for us. Not that we might be taking, but that we might be giving wholly and seeing that the great priority of God is the salvation of the lost. That is the focus. Not that we should be built up. Not that we as Christians should become fat and stronger and stronger, having no thought for the lost. But that we in humility should be going out in the world and be gathering them round as a shepherd does in love and carefulness to shepherd them into the fold. And so many out there in the world are in that position where they are lost, where they do not know Jesus Christ. And God says, will you not go out and seek after the lost, these sheep that have gone astray, who have no one to look after them, no one to care for them, no one to bring them in. Will you not be in that position where you seek after the lost? And so God graciously says, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And he says, ye eat the fat and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. And sometimes we can be in that position where we are spending a lot of our time not only receiving the ministry, but being critical of other Christians. And this is something of what it means here when it says, ye eat the fat and ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed. And we're looking out at other Christians. And not only do we spend half our time feeding ourselves and making ourselves fat on the word, word and the good ministry, but then we spend the rest of the time killing the other saints, the other flocks. And saying, they're doing this and they're doing that. And instead of having that love for God and love for the brethren and love for the lost, we're seeking for ourselves and we're seeking to destroy those who are in a position where they are saved. And so he says, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And perhaps in the local town there may be those who have come to the Lord, but they're in a position where they are backslidden, where they're in a place of discouragement. Maybe things have gone wrong in their lives, and yet we can be still here meeting and enjoying the good ministry, and no one has gone out to seek after them and say, what's gone wrong in your life? God is still there. He's there for you, and to gather them in to the flock. Do you see how we're so in a position where we can be so selfish, and we don't have that desire, that heart of love which God has for the lost, for those who are backslidden, those who are discouraged, to go out and seek after them, going into the streets and seeking them out. This is a very active thing in this passage of going out and seeking for those that are lost. Not a position of complacency and just hoping at some point that they'll come into the church. If they're there, hopefully they'll come into the church. We think or we say. But no, it's a position of activeness, of going out and seeking after those who are lost, those who are backslidden. So where is our priority in our Christian life? Is it to seek after the lost? Or is it merely to be built up by teaching meeting after conference and sermon tape after sermon tape? So we come into a position where we are so fat on the world, and on the things that are just for ourselves, that we just have no time, no consideration for the lost. Surely the priority of our life, the time that we spend in Christian ministry, should be going out and seeking after the lost. And I wonder if we think about the time that we spend in our lives, what proportion is spent on that and what proportion is spent on ministry for ourselves? What is spent on teaching for ourselves and ministry meetings and teaching meetings? Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You see, in this passage, it speaks, moving down to verse 16, it really speaks about the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus and the way it talks about the what characterizes a good shepherd. That speaks so clearly of the Lord Jesus. It says, verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. And that's perhaps makes us think of Isaiah 61 that's quoted in Luke chapter 4, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That's what characterized the ministry of the Lord Jesus, that he should be out there ministering to those in a position where they are lost, where they are brokenhearted, where they're in a position of captivity. And so Jesus did that in a sort of, as it were, a relentless way. And you know that at times he would seek just to have a rest, but immediately there was another opportunity for ministry, and he was there ministering, as it were, and the disciples and the Lord, as it were, barely finding time to eat because they're so busy ministering. And if we think about our own lives in a practical sense, how much time in a day do we spend eating? You know, perhaps breakfast, lunch, dinner. But the food is there in order for us to work. We don't spend the whole of our day just eating and getting fatter and fatter, but we spend a small amount of the day eating, and then we go out to work. We do something. The food is there to give us energy. It's to give us life and strength in order to go out and do something. And the same in the Christian world. Of course we need to hear teaching. We need to hear ministry from the Lord. We need to read the Bible. We need to get the food. But the food is there in order that we might go out and do something, in order that we might go out and minister to others. And if we're in the position where we are just seeking after something for ourselves, and that doesn't, it never turns into an out, it's never worked out into ministry to the lost, then we have completely missed the heart of God. We've missed the purposes of God. That the desire of God is for others, for other people. I was just thinking yesterday of a minister. I've heard a story that it was Donald Gee, who was a great Pentecostal leader of a previous generation. Someone else said it was William Booth, but I thought it was Donald Gee. And Donald Gee had been one of the, as it were, pillars within the Assemblies of God conference for many years, but he'd reached a stage where he was too old to attend the meeting. And they sent to him beforehand and said, do you have a message for the conference? Something that you'd like to say to the conference? And he just sent back one word, and he just said, others. And so often we can be in the position where we are just thinking of ourselves and what we're gaining from the Christian life and enjoying that good ministry. And the message of God is that it's others, and it's the lost, and it's those who are brokenhearted, and those who are in a position of difficulty, and those who are weak, that he wants us to go and strengthen. But I just want, nearing conclusion, I want to think of an example of one of these failing shepherds found in 1 Kings and 1 Samuel, I think, in chapter 2. This great example of one of the failing shepherds of Israel was Eli, the priest, a man who knew God, he heard from God, he had a certain amount of morality and a kind of faithfulness. He was in some senses a man of God. And yet he had missed this key point, that his great purpose in life, the reason he was there, was not to feed himself, but it was to feed the flock. It was to care for other people. And we know that the two sons of Eli were very wicked. And when the sacrifice was brought into the tabernacle, the priest was allowed a certain amount, but the way that they received their meat was when it was, as it were, boiled. They would, the servant of the priest would put in the flesh hook, and they would, whatever that tool took out, was the bit that they would have. But the sons of Eli said, no, don't want to do it that way anymore. We're going to have the meat when it's raw so that we can roast it. And we want the fat with it. We want all the goodness. We're not just going to have a bit of boiled meat, but we want everything because it's for us. And we don't care about you. And as a result, the people of Israel were discouraged in their walk with God. But you see, really, that was the heart of Eli as well. Although he knew God and he wasn't as wicked as his children, yet the seed was already in Eli, which as it were, germinated in his sons. And Eli clearly was so interested in getting his own portion that he was not ministering to other people. He was not ministering to the lost. He didn't care properly about them. And indeed with his own sons, he was not taking care of them. And in a sense, they were ones who had gone astray. And he was faithless in as much as he didn't care for them as he should have done. But Eli was in a position where he recognized the Lord's voice. You remember when Samuel, as a boy, was there in the tabernacle with Eli, and Samuel hears the Lord calling him, Samuel. After a while, Eli realized, oh, that's the Lord. And Eli could recognize when it was the Lord. And later on, when Samuel, after the Lord has spoken to Samuel, Eli says to him, well, what was it that the Lord said to you? Do not hide it from me. And Samuel reveals how God is going to judge Eli because of his lack of faithfulness, because he has not honored God. And after Samuel has revealed that, Eli says, yes, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. And he knew it was the Lord. But there was, in a sense, something with him that didn't care. He just acknowledged it. And you may remember how Hezekiah, when he heard of the judgment from Isaiah, that he was going to come under the judgment of God. Hezekiah cried to God and wept before the Lord and said, Lord, as it were, remove this judgment from me. And God heard him and responded. But Eli was different. And there was something within him that really didn't care sufficiently about the things of God and didn't have the same heart that God had. And as a result, his children, as it were damned. His children were slain. The Lord killed them and they were slain. Because Eli didn't have that heart that the Lord had to care for the lost. And it speaks about Eli in his old age being heavy, or we might say fat, because he had built himself up, but he didn't have the care for the flock. And in a sense, we may look at the children in our own families, and perhaps ones who are lost, they don't know the Lord. And I wonder, is it our priority to see them saved? Or is it our priority just to go to teaching meetings? Which is our real heart before God? To see our children, our grandchildren saved? Is that the priority, or is the priority to go to teaching meetings? You see, we must have ministry, we must have teaching, but where's the priority? Where does our heart lie? And the heart of Jesus as he was on earth was to seek after the lost. That was his heart. Is it our heart to seek after the lost? And the very fact that Eli didn't really care led to his children being damned. And in that position where he fed himself and got fat on the meat, on the best portion, on the fat meat, he was feeding himself and he wasn't caring about his children and beyond that to others. I wonder, are we in that position where our heart is for our unsaved family, for our unsaved children, grandchildren, those who we know, our neighbours, those close to us? Or is our heart just to feed ourselves? And given the choice, would we spend the time praying for the lost, praying for our families, or would we spend our time going to another teaching meeting, hearing another message on a CD? I wonder, do we share the heart of God? Do we have his priorities, or have we introduced a new kind of theology, a new kind of teaching which says the priority in the Christian life is to hear teaching? That's a new theology. It's not the Bible's theology. The Bible's theology is that we go out and we seek after the lost and we minister to them, that we are giving ourselves continually for others and not thinking of ourselves. Where do our priorities lie? Is it always to take or is it to give? And in giving, one of the great priorities is we spend time in prayer. As we think of the young people, the only thing really, or the great thing that we are doing for them is that we are praying for them. And then our attempts to ministry, it's all really founded in prayer. And I wonder, do we see that the work of prayer is such an important part of seeking after the lost? To pray at great length and then to go and to seek after them. I wonder, are those our priorities? To spend time labouring in prayer for the lost? Or just to seek after some feeding for ourselves? Back to Ezekiel in chapter 34. It talks about the sheep wandering through all the mountains upon the high hill, about the sheep being scattered upon the face of the earth, and no one searching or seeking after them. And it says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them." And so if we are in the position where we are not seeing it as the priority to minister to the lost, the Lord will take the flock away from us. He will take a ministry away from us. If we are in the position where, like Eli, we're just feeding ourselves and we're not feeding the flock, God will take his sheep out of our hand, whether we are in a position of leadership, or whether it's just as pastors of our own families, or pastors of those that we come into contact with. God can take a ministry out of our hands because we're not being faithful and we're feeding ourselves and not feeding the flock. And I believe churches die because they're not feeding the flock. They're not having God's priority. They're not seeking out the lost and going into the neighborhood and giving the bread to them. They're just feeding themselves. And I believe many churches in this country are dying because that is their priority, just to feed themselves and not to feed the flock. And God will take away the flocks, the churches, out of the hands of leaders and others who do not see it as the priority to feed the flock, and they are simply feeding themselves. But then it just really concludes this passage by saying that God himself will become the shepherd. These are the unfaithful shepherds like Eli in Israel. They were not doing their job. So it says, "Behold, even I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. And so God is saying, you can't do this in your own strength. He's saying it is something that I'm going to have to do. And so in sending the Lord Jesus into the earth, that was something that Jesus did. He was the great shepherd. But it is not, in a sense, it's not just God doing it, but it's every believer who is filled with the Spirit. That is the indication that they are filled with the Spirit, that they are doing what God has called them to do. That they are having the heart of God. And if God is saying, I will seek after my sheep, these shepherds of Israel, they failed, I will seek after my sheep. The person who is filled with the Holy Spirit, the poor person who is walking with God, will share the heart of God, and that's what they will be doing. Filled with God, filled with the Spirit, they'll be going out into the world, and they will be spreading the gospel. Back in 1 Samuel 2, it says, God says to Eli, that I will take away from you this priesthood. I will give it to another. And it's prophetic speaking really about the coming of Christ. And in the last couple of verses we read here, it says, I will set one shepherd over them. He shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them and he shall be their shepherd. But as people, followers of the Lord Jesus, in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, if we are really filled with the Spirit, we will share the priority of God and we will go out into the world. And just as Jesus did go out and seek after the lost. I wonder this morning, is that our heart? Is that the burden of our heart? Not to be seeking for ourselves. Not always to be taking. But to see that the priority is not to receive teaching and to receive ministry and to go to meetings. But to feed the flock. To give to the lost. May God give us grace to turn from selfish attitudes of seeking for ourselves and cause us to give to others in every situation that we find ourselves. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, our Father, for such an example as the Lord Jesus, who in his earthly ministry was continually going about doing good, seeking to minister to those in a place of discouragement, to those that were lost, to those that were downtrodden, to the brokenhearted, O God. And we are praying today, Lord, that you would do a work within us, that we would share that heart, share that ministry, Lord, that we would be a people who, as a church here, would be going out into the community and spending and being spent for those who do not know the Saviour. O God, that we would be willing to give ourselves completely, that the lost might hear the gospel. Lord, we know that you must do this work in us. You must bring us to the place where we are sharing your heart. Lord, where we are not walking in a position of selfishness and taking for ourselves, but where we're in a position where we are giving and giving that the lost might be saved. Oh God, we thank you for such a Savior who is willing to give himself for us, who is willing to go to the death, even the death of the cross, that we might be born again, that we might be brought back into the fold. And Lord, we pray you'd minister life into us, that we might share in this work, to the glory and honor of your name, in Jesus' name.